Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
Anyway, if you would, turning your Bibles back to our scripture of the of this session, Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. We'll read out of the, this is the New King James Version. I want to read it as we always do on every Wednesday night. Okay, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole arm of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Thank you, Jesus, for the word of God. So let's just do a quick recap. I'm reading off of Pastor Travis's notes. We got a lot of notes to read. And so I'll just give you a recap. You know, last week's session was about being... having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So we're talking about the shoes of peace. So here's the recap. You know, peace not only protects you, but it also provides you with a brutal weapon to wield against the enemy when he attacks. Peace gives us a foundation so secure that we can step out in confident faith without being moved by what we see or what we hear. With the peace of God operative in your life, you can walk through the rockiest and most difficult situation imaginable and never get bruised, cut, or seriously injured. And when you are walking in the peace of God, you often don't even realize how difficult your predicament is. The supernatural peace pulls the plug out of the devil's effectiveness. If he can't disturb your peace, he can't disturb you. When God's peace is active in your life, it surpasses all natural understanding in its ability to protect, guard, keep, and defend you from the enemy's attack. What will keep you in place as you seek to stand in place? What will enable you to maintain your ground when vicious winds of opposition come your way? It's the supernatural peace of God. With this in mind, remember Romans 16:20 teaches us that that Satan's only rightful position is under our feet, completely subdued. Let's say that again. Satan's position is under our feet, right? Now, your God-given mission is to reinforce the victory already won and to demonstrate just how miserably defeated Satan already is. Just like the Israelites of old, freedom is yours. Now you must go in and possess the land. Let's make Romans 16:20 your statement of faith. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under my feet shortly. There's no doubt about it. The peace of God is an awesome and powerful weapon that we should use on a daily basis. Are y'all using it on a daily basis? The peace of God, are you putting on those shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace? That's what you need to be doing every day. Tonight, we're going to talk about the shield of faith. And that's in verse 16. So in the New King James Version, this is the scripture, above all, taking the shield of faith from which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And then in the King James Version, it says, above all, the shield of faith, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Ephesians 16 in the Amplified Version says, above all, lift up the protective shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And then in the Living Bible, it's in every battle you will need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. And Pastor put this in his note. He said, I know I say this every week, but this is probably my favorite weapon of all of them. He says that every week. And you know, that's right. Every time you study one, it becomes your favorite. I promise you. How many of you ever used, when you're praying with somebody or talking with somebody, you've ever used that phrase, let's hold up the shield of faith and stop the fiery darts that the wicked one's sending. I know I believe this is probably the one part of that armor that most people are real familiar with, very familiar with. Paul says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. To begin this discussion of the shield of faith, it's important once again to point out that the shield and the loin belt that were linked to each other. Remember the session on the loin belt of truth, the Word of God? It's important once again to point out that the shield and the loin belt were linked to each other. The massive shield of the Roman soldier rested on a small clip that attached to the belt when it was not in use. So to clarify, the belt, being the Word of God, your faith is attached to the Word of God. You ought to write that down. You ought to or save that, or highlight that, or do something. But your faith is attached to the Word of God. You're going to see how important that faith and the Word of God together are as we go through this. Got a lot to cover, so I'm going to be reading fast and trying to go through here so we can get done with this tonight in our allotted time, but we may go over a little bit. But anyway, whatever it takes. Once again, if you fail to give the Word of God a place of top priority in your life, it's only a matter of time before your faith will begin to dry up. Because the presence of or neglect of faith is determined by the presence or neglect of God's Word. How many of you know that's true? You neglect the Word of God and your faith is neglected. Faith and the Word of God are inseparable. Romans 10:17 in the King James Version says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Can you see that direct connection? Faith, hearing, Word of God. It's undeniable. Faith and the Word of God are so uniquely tied together that there is no word that if where there is no word, there is that if faith is absent in a person's life, you will find that the Word of God is absent as well. Remember, the very first piece of weaponry is the loin belt of truth. Paul looked at a Roman soldier wearing a big helmet on his head, a bright and shining breastplate, had those brass greaves is what we were talking about last week, a fancy lance, a two-edged sword, and a large shield. Yet after seeing all of these impressive pieces of armor, Paul still begins his description by pointing out the belt wrapped around the man's waist. Have you got the picture yet? Why did Paul do this? Because the Holy Spirit's trying to tell you something very important. The Word of God is central and foremost to everything else that we have in God. Remember, the Word is important. The Word. Always keep that forefront in your thinking. Your ability to walk in the knowledge that you are righteous in Christ hinges entirely upon the centrality of God's Word in your life. When you get out of the Word, it's only a matter of time before you will begin to lose that wonderful sense of righteousness. Anybody ever been that way before? You get out of the Word, and all of a sudden you begin to fade back a little bit. You begin to lose a little bit of your faith. You begin to lose a little bit of who you are in Christ, and you lose that wonderful sense of righteousness. I know if you get out of the Word, it's going to be detrimental to your spiritual growth. Your ability to walk in peace is decided by whether or not you are giving God's Word a place of priority in your life. And when the Word of God has the highest position, the peace of God is then released to call the shots and guard your heart and your mind. But if you get out of the Word, it's only a matter of time before the sense of peace will be replaced by the anxious cares of everyday life. And I promise you, anxious cares come every single day. So your ability to walk in strong faith is also determined by the presence or the neglect of God's Word in your life. Faith is a result of the impartation of God's Word into your heart. If the Word of God does not have an important place in your schedule, it will be impossible for you to grow in faith. The practical outworking of your salvation is greatly affected by the renewing of your mind with the Word of God. Although born again and destined for heaven, you will not be able to enjoy the benefits of your salvation today in this life unless you permit the power of God's Word to continually work to transform your mind. So there will be no sword of the Spirit at your disposal if the belt of truth has no place in your life. The sword of the Roman soldier rested in a scabbard that hung from the loin belt of truth. This is another picture of the necessity of the written Word of God in your life. Remember we talked about the Rhema Word was desperately needed and will probably come directly from the Bible as the Holy Spirit quickens a verse to your heart. See, we talked about Rhema, and we talked about Logos last week. Thank God for special moments when the Spirit speaks a word to your heart. That's a revelation-type word. And when these words from the Lord come to your heart, it will bring you joy. But you shouldn't base your whole Christian life entirely on the rhema words that you hear from God. You may not always receive a personal word from the Lord, but you always have the dependable, always present word of God, the belt of truth, to build your life on and to give you direction. The piece of armor is always available and accessible to you. What are we talking about? We're talking about this book right here called the Word of God. You can even touch this one. It's tangible. It's right here in your presence. You can touch it. You can handle it. You can read it. You can open it up. You can smell it. You can lick it. You can do whatever you want to, but it's right there in front of you, right there. It's something that you can put in your hands. And if you have this most important weapon in hand, it's in time, you'll have everything else you need to live a life of victory. So let's talk about the shield. Roman soldiers owned two kinds of shields. They used one in parades for the public and ceremonies, and the other one was used for battle. The first shield was denoted by the Greek word aspis. This shield was a small, round shield that was primarily a decorative piece of equipment to be used in public ceremonies and parades. And we see these a lot. You know, you see these in movies, and see things like that where they have that round shield. You know, that's about 2 foot or 2.5 feet or something like that. It looks good, but let's talk about the other one. This particular shield was beautiful. It was decorated with all kinds of intricate engravings and markings on the front. Also, the front middle portion of the small shield often represented an artist rendition of a previously victorious military campaign. This shield was beautiful, but is way too small to be used in an actual military confrontation. The second kind of shield used by the Roman soldier was the one which Paul makes reference to in Ephesians 6:16 when he speaks of the shield of faith. This particular word for shield is taken from the Greek word thureos. Thureos, I think, is the way it's pronounced. This was used by the Greeks to refer to a door that was wide in width and long in length. If you think about it, how big is a door? How tall is a door? How wide is it? The Romans used this word for the shields they carried in the battle because the shield was shaped like a door. In other words, they were wide in width and long in length, but just like the door of the house. The large battle shield was very opposite of the first shield, which was way too small to protect the soldier from the swords and arrows of his adversary. The decorative shield never would have covered a soldier in the midst of a wave of arrows. Can you imagine trying to block arrows, a wave of arrows coming, and you just got this little two-foot piece versus having one the size of a door? I believe if their arrows are coming at me, I want one that's covering the whole thing. On the other hand, the second shield completely covered the man. It is therefore very significant that the Holy Spirit selected the second shield as the illustration of faith rather than the first shield. He is telling us that God has given us enough faith to make certain we are completely covered, just like a battle shield completely covered a Roman soldier. Romans 12:3 in the King James says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." What's it saying? It's saying that God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. How much faith has God given you? He has given you enough faith to make certain you are covered in life. Actually, that word, where it says right there, is given to you every man the measure of faith. That measure, the word measure, comes from the Greek word metron, which means what is enough. In other words, it's saying this is a measure of what is enough. I want you to keep in mind, as we're going through here and we're talking about this measure of faith, keep this in mind. This is something that God gives you, right? He has dealt to every man. This is something that God gives you. It's not something that comes from man. It's something that comes from God. It's very important to remember that. Don't ever worry or get upset that God has given others more faith than he's given you. That's another thing about that word. It says when he has dealt to every man the measure of faith, it also says he dealt that proportionately to every man. So, I mean, every man gets the same. Every man gets enough. What is enough? You can rest assured, in fact, that he has imparted enough faith to you to make sure you are covered from the top of your head to the soles of the tips of your toes. Like a wide, long shield, the faith God has given you is adequate to cover every need that it could ever arise in your life. In the majority of cases, the Roman soldier's shield was composed of multiple layers, usually six layers, of thick animal hide that had been tightly woven together. These layers of the animal hide were specifically tanned and then woven together so tightly that they became almost as strong as steel. Anybody ever dealt with rawhide that's been properly processed and everything? Rawhide is tough, let me tell you. And so I don't know if it was like rawhide or not, but that's what I picture in my mind is something that's as tough as rawhide, but it's become almost as strong as steel. One piece of leather is tough, but imagine how tough and durable six layers of leather would be. Because the shield of the Roman soldier was made from all these layers of animal hides, it was extremely strong and exceptionally long-lasting and hard-wearing. Same as your faith, it's extremely tough and exceptionally durable, more so that you can ever realize than you can ever realize. No matter how hard and how long the enemy beats against your faith can outlast his attack. The shield of faith that God has given you is strong, long-lasting, and durable faith. So now let's get into what take good care of your shield. This is very important. This is where you're really going to catch something. I believe you're going to get something out of here that you haven't thought of or haven't studied or haven't learned before. I know this has been amazing to me just to go over these notes. And also this, I encourage you to get that book, Dressed to Kill, because it really it's got some good detail in there. When anything is made out of leather, it's very important that you take good care of it. How many of you know, Marshall, I bet you in your business, cattle business and working with saddles and things like that, it's pretty important to keep your leather in good shape, right? What happens if it gets into the dry rot or something like that? It's not going to help you, right? You got to take care of leather. So he says, although the six layers of animal hide that made it extremely strong and durable, that tough, thick leather could become stiff and breakable over a period of time if it wasn't properly taken care of. In other words, it was necessary for Roman soldiers to know how to care for their shields. A soldier that was given a daily schedule for maintaining his shield and keep it in excellent condition. Each morning when a soldier would wake up, he would reach for his shield and for a small vial of oil, and after saturating a piece of the cloth with this heavy ointment, he would rub the oil into the leather of the shield to keep it soft and pliable. For a soldier to ignore this daily application of oil and to let his shield go without this kind of required care was essentially equivalent of his inviting certain death upon his life. Because the protective shield was made of leather, it would have become hard and stiff without the proper care. If not properly maintained over time, the leather would have hardened until when put under pressure, it cracked and would fall to pieces. This is why the end result of a soldier's failure to care for his shield would be death on the battlefield. I would think that would be very important. That's kind of like cleaning your gun if you're on a field of a battlefield, and like a soldier would be, you know, that would be very important to clean your gun, make sure your ammunition's clean, things like that. Same thing with his shield. You got to be ready when the time comes, or otherwise you could be facing death on the battlefield. If a Roman soldier wanted to live a long life, it was very important for him to pick up the vial and apply the oil to his shield every single day of his military life, because the shield is a representation of our faith. This analogy tells us that our faith requires frequent anointing of the Holy Spirit. Did you get that? Frequent anointing of the Holy Spirit. With anointing oil is always pointing to the Holy Spirit when it's a good representation of that. Without a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit's power in your life, your faith will become hard and brittle. If you ignore your faith and allow it to go undeveloped, never seeking for a fresh anointing of the Spirit of God to come upon your life, your faith won't be soft and pliable enough to stand up under the attack when a challenge comes your way. Faith that is ignored nearly always breaks and falls to pieces during confrontation with the enemy. Faith that is ignored nearly always breaks and falls to pieces during a confrontation with the enemy. Do you want to be ready for the enemy in your life? I think you would be. There are so many believers that make the incredible tragic mistake of thinking that they can keep moving forward in their Christian walk on the steam of their past experience with the Lord. Thank God for past experiences and all those incredible moments that we've had in the Lord, but no believer can ever rest on his moments from the past. I don't care how great your past experiences and victories are, if you stop developing your faith and fail to keep your faith freshly anointed by the Holy Spirit's presence, your shield of faith is in very scary position. So never assume that your faith is in top-notch shape. Instead, play it safe and assume that your faith always needs a fresh anointing. By taking this approach, you will always seek to do what is necessary to keep your faith active, alive, active, and well. And there we go again. I always say, you know, don't miss an opportunity to be in the presence of God. Don't miss an opportunity to be in church or under Bible study or in a good Bible study, because this is where you get the fresh anointing. This is where you get fresh revelation. We got to have that in order to keep our faith where it needs to be, strong, active, alive, and well. That is not the only reason a Roman soldier's shield was made out of animal hide. Before a soldier would go out to war, he placed his shield in a tub or a pool of water. Then he left it there soaking in the water until his shield was completely saturated. Why did Roman soldiers saturate their shields with water? Because their enemies used arrows that would carry fire. Even when these dangerous flaming arrows hit their targets, the wet surface of the shields would extinguish them on impact. These water-saturated shields gave the soldier the upper hand in the battle by putting out the enemy's fire. You ever had any enemy arrows shot at you that were loaded with fire? I'm sure you have. So that's why we soak it, and that's why we're getting to this part here about the soaking in water. Same as when we keep our faith completely saturated with the washing of the water of the Word. Our shields have the power to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the adversary, which is mentioned in Ephesians 6:16. Ephesians 5:26 says that we might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. So we see that in order for the Roman soldier to keep his shields in top-notch condition, it was required that their shields have daily applications of both oil and water, both anointing by the Holy Spirit and the water, the washing of the water of the Word. That's what we need. Same as in us, in order for us to keep our shield in top-notch condition, we must give serious attention to the condition of our faith. We must make certain that we are allowing the Holy Spirit to freshly anoint our lives on a daily basis as we regularly saturate our faith with the water of the Word. Word-saturated faith will always extinguish the devil's attack. Are you reading the Bible every day? Are you getting into Scripture every day? That's where we saturate the Word. That's where we saturate our faith with the Word of God, and that's what keeps it to the point where it'll extinguish the arrows of the devil, the devil's attacks. You got to stay in the Word. You got to stay in the presence of the Holy Spirit. You got to have both of those. Otherwise, your faith will fail you at the time when you need it the most. And then there's the phrase, above all. Some people have mistakenly thought that faith is more important than any other piece of spiritual weaponry. This is not so. The belt of truth is the Bible, the written Word of God, is the most important piece of weaponry that we possess. And Pastor Travis covered that very good when we talked about the loin belt of truth. How do we know that the Word of God is more important than faith? Because faith comes from the Word of God. How should the shield of faith be more important than the belt of truth, the Word of God? Let's not get the cart before the horse. Paul says, above all, taking the shield of faith. What does the phrase above all mean? I don't know about y'all, but I always thought when it said above all, I was always thinking, you know, that means that was the most important. I did have that thought when I read that. But listen to what it says here. What does the phrase above all mean? The phrase is taken from the Greek word, or the Greek phrase, epipassein. The word passein means all or everything. Rather than referring to being more important than the other pieces of armor, the phrase epipassein describes the position over the other pieces of armor. It could be better translated out in front of all or covering all. Or as you study and look at that also, it says in all things. In other words, above all, in all things. So we're talking about the shield that is out in front of all, the shield of faith that's out in front of all, that shield of faith that's covering all, the shield of faith that is in all things. This tells us that our faith is supposed to be out in front where it can cover all. Faith was never meant to be held next to your side or to be timidly held behind your back. Does the shield do you any good if it's by your side, or does it do you any good if it's behind you? Well, if they were shooting from the behind, I guess that might protect you there. But you know the arrows, if you're in battle and you're moving forward, it's going to go forward. Faith is designed to be out in front where it can completely cover you in every situation of your life. in all things. That's why I say that's important to catch that, in all things, to cover all, out in front of all, covering all, and in all things. Keep in mind that the phrase above all describes position, not importance. Therefore, this phrase emphatically tells us that the shield of faith is meant to completely cover us and protect us from harm, especially when we are marching forward to take new ground from the kingdom of God, or for the kingdom of God. It's a defensive weapon that is out in front of all other pieces of armor. When our shield of faith is in its proper place, out in front in covering position, it can do what God intended it to do. This is why Paul told us, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Notice that Paul says, taking the shield of faith. The word taking is from the word analambano, which is a compound of the Greek words ana and lambano. The word ana means up, back, or again, and the word lambano means to take up or take in hand. When compounded together into one word, it means to take something up in hand or to pick something back up again, to lay hold of, to lay hold of aggressively, to lay hold of assertively, to lay hold of actively. We got to pick up our faith sometimes. Sometimes we let our faith, our shield, drop. This plainly means that our shield of faith can be picked up, or it can also be laid down. Do people lay their shield of faith down sometimes? I believe they do. I believe we see that all the time. People, they just give up on their faith and they lay it down. The choice is yours to make. It reassures us that if we lay down our faith at some point along the way, if we've gotten discouraged and stopped believing God to work in our lives, it is not too late for us to pick up our shield and walk in faith again. No well-trained soldier would have gone to battle without his shield. That piece of weaponry was not optional. The shield was the soldier's guarantee that he would be guarded against deadly forces. Without that protective shield in front of him, there was absolutely nothing between him and his opponent. The soldier therefore understood that he would be walking into self-imposed destruction if he went forward into battle without a shield. Think about that. If you were going into battle and those arrows were coming at you and you didn't have a shield, you'd have to be real quick to be able to dodge those arrows. I don't think you could. So that's why you have to have that shield of faith. It's so sad to see many believers lack the same understanding that when it comes to facing the enemy without their shield of faith, they mistakenly think that they can successfully live the Christian life without giving attention to the development of their own faith. But that kind of thinking is foolishness. It was for this cause that Paul told Timothy. He says in 1 Timothy 1, 18 through 19, he says, This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. In other words, fight the good fight, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. When a believer puts away his faith, it always leads to spiritual shipwreck. In other words, by ignoring and disregarding the significance of their faith, some of our brothers and sisters in the Lord have opted for a spiritual course that will eventually lead them to a total exposure to the enemy's attacks. In past years, some have accused other believers of overemphasizing the importance of faith as compared to the other aspects of the Christian life. But as we begin to understand the crucial nature of faith and its ramifications in our lives, both physically and spiritually, we come to realize that it's impossible to ever overemphasize the necessity of a life of faith. Those of you who have sat under Pastor Ty's teachings, you know this. He's always taught, that's one of his strong teachings, is his faith, and I believe we're going to be able to sit under that here coming one of these months soon when they get back from Florida. I believe he's going to present a series on faith, so that'll be really good. We need to hear that. So what is the shield's purpose? Paul says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The words, wherewith you shall be able, is taken from the word dunamis. It might say in your notes wherewith, but it actually should go together. Wherewith you shall be able is taken from the word dunamis, which translates explosive power or dynamic power. It's where we get the word dynamite. This phrase could be translated, by the use of this shield, you will have explosive and dynamic power. See, the shield of faith empowers you is what it's doing. What then is this part of the verse saying? When you hold your shield of faith in front of you, and when that shield of faith is both anointed in the Holy Spirit and saturated with the Word of God, anointed by the Holy Spirit and saturated with the Word of God, that's the part you need to get in here if you want to have a, if you're going to have a faith that is effective, a faith that is developed, anointed by the Holy Spirit and saturated with the Word of God. Your faith positions you to move in God's explosive and dynamic power. The Apostle Peter declares in 1 Peter 1:5, he says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. There is unseen connection. There is an unseen connection between the power of God and the operation of faith in your life. When these two are working hand in hand, they build a strong wall of defense against the enemy's tactics that is impenetrable. In other words, when your strong faith activates the power of God in your life, those two forces combine to make a mighty protective shield between you and every demonic onslaught that might come against you. In other words, power and faith working together in your life will spiritually equip you to hold a solid position against the enemy without taking any serious blows to yourself. The combination of these two elements will cause you to be fortified and armed to the teeth. When the power of God and faith are operative in your life, you are like a huge army tank with the ability to move your position forward without taking any losses. This doesn't mean the devil won't try to stop you, because he will. This is why Paul says that you may be able to stand against the fiery darts of the wicked. The fiery darts. Let's talk about the fiery darts. The Greek word that is used to describe these kind of darts is a very specific and historical word of warfare. A Greek writer used the identical Greek expression to depict especially terrible arrows that were equipped to carry fire. The military of the New Testament times used three kinds of arrows. First, there was regular arrows, similar to the arrows one would shoot from a bow today. Maybe there's some bow hunters in here. You know what kind of arrow you've got that kills a deer. Second, there were arrows that were dipped in tar, set on fire, and then shot through the air. I always liked those movies where they were shooting those arrows with the fire, and I always wondered, you know, when they had, that always looked like a pretty important way to shoot it. And then thirdly, this is the scary one. Thirdly, there were the arrows containing combustible fluids that burst into flames upon impact. The arrow in Ephesians 6 are called fiery darts. Because Paul's words used in the text is identical to the Greek writer, he wrote exactly what kind of arrows Paul has in mind. We know exactly what kind of arrows that Paul had in mind. Paul is thinking of the arrows that could carry fire. Specifically, is referring to the kind of arrows, those that were made from long, slender pieces of cane and filled with combustible liquids that exploded on impact. These particular arrows were one of the greatest terrors of the day. To the natural eye, they looked minimal in danger, but the natural eye couldn't see that these arrows had been filled with combustible fluids. It was only after impact, when a great fire had begun, could one know for certain that these arrows had been equipped with the potential of explosive flames and disaster. These fluid-filled arrows were not used in normal combat situations. Regular arrows were sufficient for those kind of confrontations. Fire-bearing arrows were reserved to inflict damage on a fortified place or an encampment. If the Roman army had fortified its position so that the enemy couldn't easily break in to destroy it, the opposing forces within revert to using these, with the opposing forces would then revert to using these deadly arrows of fire. The enemy soldiers would hold these long pieces of slender cane in an upright position and pour explosive fluids into them. Once they had gotten filled with these arrows to the brim, with the death-dealing liquid, they sealed and disguised the arrows to look like normal, minimally dangerous ones. And since the enemy cannot physically break into the camp and personally destroy the entrenched army, they shot these fire-bearing arrows over the walls of the army's fortified position. The arrows were disguised to look like they were very harmless, and as a result, those inside of the camp often made the fatal mistake of ignoring them, at least until the first one hit its target. Troops were shocked and taken off guard when these arrows struck inside the fortress walls and burst into raging flames. Then, after the fiery arrows after the initial fiery burst, the enemy would continue to shoot more of these arrows, one after another, into the camp, each equipped with the same deadly capabilities. And I imagine that fire was just spreading through there and causing all kinds of havoc. Is this very picture that Paul had in mind when he says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to stand against the fiery darts of the wicked. See, your passions are stirred by fire. This is one kind of arrow the enemy wants to send your way, these fiery darts. When Satan has no easy access into your life, he will try another, more secretly, so he can come against you, shooting a fire-bearing arrow into your emotions. The enemy launches fiery darts right smack in the middle of a weak place in your mind and heart because he wants to make sure his darts have the greatest potential of arousing the worst and most vile of emotions in you. You know, when I talk about the vile emotions in you, you know, everybody, when you get confronted by a fire, people that are firefighters or have fought in fires like that, you know, your adrenaline gets to flowing, fire's coming your way, even like when we, around here, you know, the dry season and you get a report of a fire that's like where we live to the southwest of us, I'm all alert. I'm on alert. I'm on attention. I'm wanting to see where that fire is at because it stirs up those passions within you because your fire is a way of fear. It's a thing that will cause you to have fear. So that's why it's a flaming arrow from the enemy. It hits its target, your emotions. It can throw those emotions in a state of rage, anger, anxiety, unbelief, worry, crybaby, and so forth. These flaming arrows are meant to do something destructive in your mind and emotions. They are meant not only to hurt you, but also to engulf you like a fire that is hopelessly burning out of control. And in the panhandle of Texas, we see fires that are burning out of control sometimes. Many people are hit by the enemy's fiery arrows every day because they are not walking with their shield of faith held out in front of them where it belongs. Not only that, but they neglect their shield of faith, failing to keep it anointed by the Spirit and saturated with the water of the Word. If only they could do what they should to maintain and strengthen their faith, that invisible shield would keep those fiery arrows from getting through it, through to harm them. You are responsible. Say that to yourself. I am responsible. Say that. I am responsible. Okay? Good. We want to make sure everybody's responsible and accountable. You are responsible. The devil and his host are never your real problem. The Lord Jesus Christ thoroughly spoiled them through his death and resurrection. Colossians 2:15 makes this very clear. It says in there, it says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, talking about Jesus, triumphing over them in it. See, if you continue to be controlled by habitual hang-ups and struggle with the same hassles and emotional upset, your primary problem may be that you have not made the decision to submit your flesh and mind to the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. If your shield of faith is properly anointed by the Holy Spirit and saturated in the Word of God, those arrows would be extinguished on impact. If the devil's arrows have been effective in throwing you into anger, anxiety, etc., it's evident that there is a crack in your shield of faith. Regardless of how the crack got there in the first place, it is your responsibility to do something about it. Take responsibility for your shield. Take responsibility for your faith. Often people have cracked shields due to wrong attitudes and thoughts in their mind. These cracks provide an open door through which the devil's arrows can potentially come through. Don't give the devil a foothold. Don't give the devil a crack in your faith. If you live in the presence of God on a daily basis, the Holy Spirit's anointing comes upon your faith. If you don't, the absence of the Holy Spirit's oil or anointing causes your faith to become hard, stiff, and brittle, the absence of it. Sometimes the reason fiery darts break through your shield of faith is that you don't do what is necessary to keep your faith pliable and durable. On the other hand, if you give the Word of God a place of priority in your daily schedule, your shield of faith is so saturated with the water of the Word, that it will extinguish any flaming arrows coming at you. As we've already learned, human nature loves to shift the blame for failure to someone else. But the truth of the matter is this: God has given us everything we need to stand against the wiles of the devil. If we have been wounded by the enemy's fiery darts, we must assume responsibility for repairing the cracks that are in our shield of faith and stop shifting the blame to somebody else. It's so important that you live a crucified life in the presence of God and give the Word of God a primary place in your daily life. By keeping the shield of faith anointed with the oil of the Spirit and saturated with the water of the Word. There it is again. Oil of the Spirit and saturated with the Word of God. You will ensure that every dart the enemy launches against you will fail. By dealing with the unseen areas of your life and your mind, you are ensuring that there are no open doors through which the enemy's arrows can pass in to pieces, can pass to pierce through your enemies, through your emotions, and throw you into a fit of raging carnality. God has provided a way for us to avoid being hit by these darts. He has provided a way for us to escape their destructive impact. Find that in 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. The shield of faith is your way of escape, a way to escape from the fiery darts of the adversaries, of your adversaries. When your faith is out in front of you and covering all, it quenches every temptation and every fire-bearing arrow that the enemy tries to send your way. When you are carrying your well-maintained shield of faith, keep that in mind. How do we maintain our shield of faith? By the anointing of the Holy Spirit, a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, and by the washing of the water of the Word. Those deadly arrows lose their power and fall to the ground. So you escape, and the enemy's strategies against you lose or fail. Extinguishing faith. The enemy's goal is to lodge an arrow of unbelief in your mind that will eventually destroy you. Maybe that arrow is a thought that says, you're going to die of this, I just know it. Or my marriage is going to fail. Or maybe something like this, we're going to go bankrupt. If one of the devil's arrows lodge in your mind and you begin to believe it, believe the lie, your belief on that falsehood will most likely empower it to become a reality in your life. Have you ever had thoughts like those in your life, something like that? I know I'm going to get cancer. I know I'm going to get this. My father had it. My grandpappy's pappy, like Pastor Travis always says, had it. So I'm going to get it. No, don't say that. Don't say that. Don't let that happen. That's a foothold for the devil. We don't want footholds. We don't want cracks in the armor. For example, if an arrow of unbelief gets in your mind and tells you that you're going to be broke, you may really go broke if you don't get rid of that lie. If an arrow of unbelief gets in your mind and convinces you that there is no hope for your marriage may really begin to fall apart as your negative faith empowers that demonic accusation to become a reality. Have you ever heard the phrase, perception becomes reality? Sometimes the things that you think and you keep dwelling on them and they're things like that, they become reality. Perception becomes reality. Don't make, and here's another word, just a side note here, don't make bad, negative, or faithless confessions. Don't say those things in your life. Don't say, I'm gonna die at a young age. Don't say, I'm gonna be broke. This stock market's gonna kill me. Don't say those things. Those are negative confessions. That's a crack in your armor or in your shield of faith. That's a crack or a weak spot. You don't need to do that. The shield of faith will enable you to quench and extinguish every dart of the enemy. This is why the Word of God commands us to cast down imaginations. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. See, imaginations could be things like arguments that you might have in your mind or reasonings that you have in your mind. And when it says every high thing, that's a presumption that you may have already had. These are the things you need to cast down before Christ and bring them into the obedience of Christ. How much damage can Satan's fiery darts do to you? Do to you if you, by faith, immediately cast them down? These arrows can't harm you if they're lying on the ground around your feet. That's what the shield of faith does for you. It puts out the fire of the hellish accusations and knocks them down to the ground. With their deceptive powers, where their deceptive powers cease to influence you. As you walk in faith, there'll be times when you see other arrows from the evil one coming at you. Coming your way. But as you keep your shield of faith up front and covering all, that arrow will bounce right off of it because it's got the anointing and because it's got the washing of the water of the Word. It's been soaked in the Word. It's been well maintained with the oil of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Because the soldier regularly anointed his shield with oil, it was also slippery. When he walked with his shield held high, the fiery arrows that fiery arrows that actually hit his shield would often slip right off of it. Other times, the arrows that hit the soldier's shield would ricochet back into the face of the enemy and explode in his own face. Wouldn't you love to see that in actuality? See it? Don't you love it to see it when the devil's plan backfires in his own face? Likewise, when you are walking in faith that is anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit, your faith will defend you. Faith will quench and extinguish anything the devil throws at you to harm and destroy you. Keep that as a reminder. Faith will quench and extinguish anything the devil throws at you to harm and destroy you. You may even ask the question, just how bad would it be for me if the enemy's fiery darts actually hit me? According to Ephesians 6, it gives us a clue when it says, the fiery darts of the wicked. The word wicked is taken from the word porneros. The word means sorrow, pain, evil, malignant, malicious, evil, ill, or vicious. This explicitly tells us that these are vicious, evil arrows. These are arrows that are potentially carry unimaginable sorrow and pain in them, arrows that are actively involved in spreading the flame and fire of wickedness, evil, and suffering. Remember John 10:10. Remember that where he says the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy? That's what he's trying to do. So I hope you can see why it's so important that your faith is out in front where it belongs. If you tend to ignore your faith and allow it to go undeveloped, you will begin to discover for yourself that the devil's arrows have the capacity of producing great sorrow and pain in your life. When they hit, they are very malicious. Furthermore, the lies that the devil shoots into your mind are not intended to merely wound you. They are intended to hit and explode in your life with their full destructive force. The aim of the devil is to seize your mind, paralyze it with fear, and then flood it with allegations that are not true. If Satan can captivate your thinking and reasoning processes and then convince you to believe that his lying allegations are true, his fiery darts can then release their damnable destruction of your life and mind. Stay in church for corporate faith. A Roman soldier could carry a shield to fight individual enemy soldiers by himself. He and his shield were not big enough to take on an entire army. He can defend himself for a while and perhaps even make a little headway. But what is one man against a whole army? Therefore, the Roman soldiers were threatened by a massive enemy army. They would walk very close to one another in a long line, side by side. On the side of these soldiers' massive shields were small hinges. One at a time, each soldier would begin fastening his shield to the next soldier's shield, who would then fasten his to the next person's shield, and so on. It would go down the entire long line. After all the soldiers' shields were securely fastened to one another, they would begin marching in unison towards the opposing forces. To the enemy, the Roman army looked like one huge wall of armor moving across the field to meet in battle. With the shield attached to the shield, the soldiers had a massive wall of protection in front of the enemy, in front of them. Let me get a drink of water. My throat's getting dry. I'll get it here in just a minute. With the shield attached to the shield, the soldier had a massive wall of protection in front of them. When the warriors marched together like them with their shields connected, they were positioned to march right up to the enemy lines to do battle without losing any of their own. Same way with us. When we as believers learn how to walk with each other in unison, in one accord, we position ourselves to make advances into the enemy's territory that we have never made before. Thank you, Jesus. Our faith will work for us personally. But we must also thank God that when we join our faith to the faith of others, we position ourselves to make some significant gains as the corporate body of Christ. Believers are called to march together, side by side, holding their closely connected shield of faith out in front of them, just as the Roman soldiers did on their way to meet the enemy's army. When there is this kind of unity amongst believers who walk in faith, it doesn't matter how many demonic forces are out there to oppose them. These unified believers will be able to steadily and aggressively move forward, putting hard pressure on the enemy and stopping all his strategies with the power of their corporate faith. Let me sit down for a minute. I'm getting a little dizzy. Once again, if you neglect your shield of faith, never receive a fresh anointing of the Spirit's presence upon it, and never soaking your faith in the Word of God, you had better not try to take on any big challenges. Your shield won't be the best of shape. Faith that is ignored becomes hard and brittle. If you run out to challenge the adversary with hard and brittle faith, it will crack in the midst of conflict. If you wave a cracked shield in the enemy's face, you're going to end up in a heap of trouble. Now, if your faith is intact, if the presence of God's Spirit is active upon your faith and your faith is saturated in God's Word, then you can wave your faith like a shield in the face of the enemy, and every arrow or dart he tries to use against you will fall to the ground. Does your faith need a fresh anointing? Probably every one of us could stand a fresh anointing. If your faith needs a fresh anointing, you must go before the great anointer. Who's the great anointer? That's Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit. And allow him to give you a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. This is what David says in Psalm 92. He says in verse 10, "But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil." The word anoint comes from the Greek word krio. It's originally a medical term. When a patient with sore muscles came to see his physician, the physician would pour oil on his own hands and then begin to rub the oil into the patient's sore muscles. You know, there's nothing better than a good rub down like that on sore muscles. Technically, then, the word anoint has to do with the rubbing or smearing of oil on someone else. So when we speak of the person who is anointed, we are actually saying that the hand of God is upon that person and that God is rubbing the strong presence of the Holy Spirit into that man or woman's life of ministry. If a person's ministry is anointed, it is anointed because the hand of God is upon it. The anointing is a result of God's hand personally imparting the strong presence of the Holy Spirit into something. Therefore, if you need a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit upon your faith, you must come before the great anointed one. He alone can give you what you need. Open your heart to the Spirit of God and allow him to lay his hand upon your life and your faith in a fresh new way. As you do, a strong anointing will follow. This is guaranteed. So in closing, when you walk with your shield of faith up front and covering all, you are in a position to storm the enemy's lies and allegations without fear of getting hurt. Perhaps you've tried to act in faith in the past and were disappointed with the results. Maybe you were believing God for your healing, but instead began to feel worse, and this discouraged you into thinking that your faith doesn't produce results. Don't ever get that. Your faith will produce results. Because of the experience like this, you may be afraid to step out to believe God again. But perhaps, you know, that's what he says. He says, take up the shield of faith. You know you can do that. Do it assertively. Do it actively. Do it aggressively. Take up the shield of faith. But perhaps you felt the stab of the enemy's evil arrows or darts in the past because your faith wasn't out in front of where it belongs. Those arrows have brought sorrows or pain or mental distress. They may have assaulted your soulish realm, hitting your mind and emotions. Remember this. The devil knows that the mind is the strategic control center of your life. If he can seize your mind, he can then begin to wage warfare against the other parts of your being. So in order to keep your mind from being struck in the future by those vicious darts that come to deceive and destroy, it is imperative that you pick up your shield of faith once again. But you can't stop there. You have to keep your faith strong with a daily soaking in the presence of the Holy Spirit and the water of the Word. Then you have to hold your shield up before you continually so that it covers and protects every area of your life. And as you do this and begin to walk in strong faith, you can rest assured of this. You will not be affected mentally, emotionally, physically by the darts of the enemy. Wasn't that good? I know there's a lot to read and reading from notes you don't get. But take these notes back and read them and absorb them and get what you can out of it, because there's so much good stuff right there. There's things that you could put in the notes in your Bible and in the columns of your Bible, and you could read those later. But, man, it's important. Remember this one thing. Faith that is undeveloped. Think about this. Faith that is undeveloped or faith that is underdeveloped in your spiritual life will lead to defeat. You need to make sure that you keep that faith developed. Keep a fresh anointing. You know, you get baptized in the Holy Spirit once, but there's nothing says you can't get baptized in the Holy Spirit multiple times. Get that fresh anointing. Get that Holy Spirit in you, the fresh anointing. And then stay. Focus on the Word. Stay in the Word. Rightly divide the Word. I mean, do it as often as you can, daily for sure. Did you get anything out of this today? I hope you did. It's one of my favorites. And, of course, next week it's the helmet of salvation, and Pastor Travis says it's my favorite. So we know it's always his favorite. So thanks for coming out tonight. I hope y'all have a safe trip back to the house. I don't think maybe it won't be too bad. We still got a little light. Oh, and be sure we'll pray over the offering too as we depart tonight. But thanks for coming and hold up, reach down and grab that shield of faith. When you feel weak in it, just reach down and grab it, hold it up. But be sure and be about the part of maintaining it anytime where you go. So, Father, in Jesus' name, Father, I thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that we can use your word each and every day. Father, we thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that you can pour into us each and every day if we would just seek you. Your word says, if you will seek me, you will find me. And, Father, I just pray that each day we will make that a part of our business to maintain our shield of faith by a new anointing, a fresh anointing of the shield, and that we will also be able to soak that shield in the washing of the water of the word. Father, help us to do those two things, to maintain our shield in good position, and then to also always put it out in front of us that it may be effective where it is. In all things that we do, put our shield of faith in front. Help us to develop that faith each and every day. Help us to know that you've given this to us. It comes from you. And so, Father, it's a gift that we should use each and every day. So, Father, thank you for your word, what you've imparted to us tonight. I pray, Father, that we become faith warriors, stronger and stronger each and every day, and that we will see as a church united, a church in one accord with our faith united, that we will see signs, miracles, and wonders each and every day in the lives of people, your believers, your children, your body here in this church at Arena of Life. Father, we thank you for the offering tonight. Father, we ask blessings upon it, Father, that it would increase the kingdom of God as we put it to the task of increasing the kingdom. So, Father, we thank you for those that have blessed and given their tithes and offerings, Father, and we pray and we know by faith that you will return to them 30, 60, and 100-fold. We thank you for it. We bless you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org. Or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.